Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
We'll come back to some analysis in just a couple of minutes with Jamie. If anybody has any questions for Jamie, you can tweet us here at Off the Ball, or you can text us on 53106. There is some other stuff that we've got to get going.
Yeah, so Thursday night we were down at our Lions Legends event at the RDS. We'd Willie John McBride there, we'd Nick Popplewell, Fergus Slattery, we're all there, Keith Wood. They all signed our Lions jersey, so we decided to give it away to one lucky listener and one lucky Facebook follower. So what we simply said was, tell us who you think Ireland's greatest ever Lion is. Tell a little story, and whoever gets the most likes on Facebook gets it. What a battle it has been, Jer. It has changed hands several times over the past few minutes. We had two entries that people really liked. First one was, I think his name is Tim Eacrit. It's an unusual spelling. He says, Willie John McBride. My mum nearly married him. Thank God she didn't, as I wouldn't have existed if he did.
Fair enough.
Fair.
146 likes, but the winner and getting the jersey is Niamh Baron Marks, who said, Willie John McBride, a record 17 tests across 5 tours. He was the captain of the great 74 team, always proved himself an inspirational figure on the pitch. He is a Lions legend. And she got herself 149 likes, and she gets herself that signed Lions jersey.
Squeaking in at the end there, we were obviously doing a bit of research, as you do, ahead of events like this, and so Google image and everybody just to see what comes up, and the first 10 or 12 pictures of Willie John are all in a Lions jersey. And so Nathan was saying to him, you know, you're way more associated with the Lions than you are with Ireland. He's like, well, yeah, I did play more times for the Lions than I did
Isn't
for Ireland.
Mental?
I had no idea.
71
yeah.
appearances for the Lions, 63 appearances for Ireland.
And their tours were like months.
5 months was
three
the longest.
Four. There was a five months.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. It is a bit crazy. I kind of had no... Because obviously he did all his stuff before I was born. But we came on and the cheer that he got was the biggest cheer we've ever had at a roadshow. It was absolutely phenomenal. Because obviously the crowd had come to see him and hear him speak. And to be honest... It's hard for us who aren't Lions to kind of fully understand and buy into the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you go and you spend a night like that and you're like, okay, I'm on board now. I get it. Takes a while.
To get, like, know what
just
it's all
understand.
About.
Yeah, to understand. It's like, how can this mean so much to you guys? Because ultimately you all play for your countries and you're all self-starters. And why is the captaincy such a big deal? And he just started to explain that, like, it is a team that comes together out of nothing and can do pretty miraculous things.
Yeah, like, I mean... You think about it, the All Blacks, I don't know what their current streak was up until now in terms of games won, but like you take them over the last 8 years, they won back-to-back World Cup champions, you know, they're probably tipped to be favourites for the next World Cup, for example.
Oh yeah.
And here you are, like how long ago was it? Just a couple of weeks the lads got together and they didn't even have their full squad until literally getting on the plane to go to New Zealand. And here they are, a couple of weeks later beating... the number one ranked best team in the world. It's a massive achievement. And for a player, like, I mean, this is stuff that, I mean, when you're young and you're watching, like, I distinctly remember Irish College watching the 97 tour and that being like an aspirational thing for you, an inspiring thing to watch that and see the behind scenes stuff. And who was it that got the drop goal to win it?
Terry McGuscott.
There we go. You know, and all that, you know, and kind of it becomes this big dream, just like playing for Ireland, like Simon Gagan was for me to play for Ireland when I first started following Ireland. And it means a lot to get a chance to put that jersey on. And then when you see the numbers, like you saw when Sam Warburton was speaking after the game, like he's only the 800 line.
Mm.
I mean, there's not that many people who are lucky enough to have that kind of behind their name.
And are you aware when you get on of all that history, like, or does it take you a little while to kind of understand too that you are something part of something a bit bigger?
Or I think everyone knows. You definitely have a sense of what's going, like that, what you're part of. But then once you get there, the machine that is the Lions kind of overwhelms you a little bit on day one.
Yeah,
like you have all this gear, you have all like the media attention just gets like, you know, Six Nations Day is massive and Six Nations coverage massive, but this is just on another level altogether. It's on another planet. And then just the real thing is the fans. Like I cannot, you probably watched the game obviously, and you get a sense of how many fans are down there watching it, and like it was pretty much like a sea of red out there. But like, you don't understand, they take over the hotels, they follow that team around, they're probably like it's like a caravel of camper vans going around New Zealand now, of Lions supporters, and you have like Welsh accents, English accents, Scottish accents, all screaming for you. And as an Irish person, you kind of go, geez, this is a bit mad, like.
Yeah.
But that is the thing where you start going, whoa, this is just, this is a different level. Like, I mean, I don't know how many million people are following the Lions, but like they're all screaming for you to represent that jersey. And it's one of the few kind of real, I don't know, kind of unique things left in sport. Like this doesn't happen in many other sports. Like,
yeah.
I'm not too sure where Ireland and Britain come together in such a unique way.
I was saying a little bit earlier on, you're kind of cheering Courtney Lawes for the one time in your life.
It's mad.
It's
true. It's true. Like he's coming on and you're wishing him to do really well, and usually, yeah, it wouldn't be.
No, exactly.
It wouldn't be like that. But, and then, I don't know, you're screaming for Watson Taylor down the wing, like, and or Jamie George when he makes the break, like, you know, it's you find yourself in a bit of a surreal space. And I did give the Dogs a couple of frights this morning, because that last 10 minutes was, you're screaming for those guys, and it was nail-biting stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't meet too many people with any faith that they were going to be capable of putting in a performance like that. I mean, obviously, the red card is important, but it's not like New Zealand were killing them up to that point.
No, but in fairness, in the week previously, I mean, New Zealand kind of took their time.
Yeah.
They were, what, 13-6, 13-8 last week, and then they kind of opened it up. And I think, the sense I get from them is that the lads aren't getting carried away, because, yes, it was, the conditions were not great to play ball, which some people are saying might have suited the Lions and not suited the All Blacks, but I'm sure they've played in rain before.
Yeah.
But, you know, 14 men down is, you know, having been on a team where you've gone down to 14, like, it's not easy. You know what I mean? And it's just a struggle, because if the team is smart, and they'll exploit space. And,
yeah.
And it took the Lions to find their foot a little bit, but they got rewarded for attacking. And their two tries were from them actually playing pretty wide.
Yeah.
And exploiting that space. But
for a team that can't attack, they've done pretty well in this game.
Especially in lashing rain, you know what I mean?
And Where are the tries? Where are the opportunities? Yeah.
But, I mean, they're going to look back, and the penalties, the discipline is, I mean, was it 13 penalties or something like that?
I think it was 18, 18-9.
18-9 in the end, and they got to remember Barrett, he missed a couple of kicks that, you know, you could argue it's another 6-9 points there.
Yeah.
So, there's a couple of different things, but most importantly is that they won, they've got a bit of momentum, and you know, they'll take a lot of learnings from it.
You've been on teams, obviously, that have conceded that number of penalties, and then you've been on teams that conceded almost no penalties.
Yep.
Is the difference in performance because somebody just has a bad day and makes a bunch of stupid mistakes, or is it, like, I guess I'm asking how much of those penalties were down to pressure and how much of them were just down to Vinopolo losing the head
of it? No one goes out there to make mistakes.
Right? Sure.
Let's just get that straight. But like, we're human. Everyone's human. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. And sometimes it can be, that emotional side really kicks in, and, you know, you just see an opportunity, you want to light someone up or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Particularly the 10.
You know, sometimes it's just a basic, you slip or something and you make a mistake, or you just make a bad judgment call. Take Sonny Bill. I doubt he meant to go in and smash him in the head, but, you know, that's what happened. You know what I mean? I think Connor got done for a high tackle, for example.
Yeah.
It's not like he meant to, like, take him by the head, but these things kind of happen. But there is a lot of mistakes you can cut out, and I think some of the penalties that were given away, the lads will know themselves, they were mistakes that could have been very easily cut out, and a lot of that, I think, stems from how you practice, how you train, and not letting that emotional side, like, some players, that's how they drive on emotion, they play on emotion, and they like to get in a scuffle or something like that, and I think the game is quickly moving past. You need that passionate side, but you got to be calm and focused at the same time.
Yeah. Jack McGrath starts next week, almost certainly at this stage.
I'm a big advocate of Wetzer. I think, I think he deserves a shot.
Yeah.
He might even get sided.
There's a debate about whether or not there's another angle that shows there's contact with the forearm to the face.
Yeah, well, look, that's for tomorrow whenever they do all that stuff, and Sonny Bill will have to go through that process as well. I'd love to see Jack start. I thought he came off the bench, made a really good impact last week and this week. If you watch back in the video, himself and Johnny make, they rook very well, put it that way, for Connor's try.
Yeah.
To make life tough for Sevilla to get round. And Connor only needs a tiny bit of space and he's through the gap.
Four tries for Conor Marina against the All Blacks. That's not a bad record.
No, it's pretty handy, isn't it? Pretty tidy. He'll be happy with himself. But again, I think Conor's playing some amazing rugby, and I think he's one of the best players in the world right now, in how he's going. And I hope others kind of see that or feel that way as well.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a listen to some Warren Gatland. Here he is speaking with Sky Sports after this morning's win.
For a clown, you're not bad, are you?
I'm a pretty happy clown this week, you know. So, look, it's great to draw and tie the series up, and we go to Auckland next week with everything to play for. And I thought it ended even with the yellow, the red card, and we've given the yellow card. I think we were the better team. We deserved to win. We played some good rugby. Gave away some soft penalties, which are disappointing. We need to fix that for next week. But I thought the better team won tonight.
What pleased you most about the performance you got out of your team? You talked before about collisions, attitude. What was it that really made you think, I'm proud of my boys tonight?
I thought the last 10 minutes. I thought guys coming off their line and really being aggressive in the way they stopped that momentum of the All Blacks. There were times where the All Blacks got across with Lamapi a couple of times and caused us some pressure. We gave away a few really soft penalties, which were disappointing. We need to rectify that for next week. But I thought our control was pretty good. You know, we probably didn't kick enough in the first half. I think the kicking stats were something. They kicked 16 times in the first half to our 9. And with the weather conditions the way they were, it was difficult to catch the ball. But then when we got the ball in their half, we stressed them and we got them behind them. We played some nice rugby and we looked comfortably defensively. They never really got outside us and never stressed us. You know, that's going to be obviously with Sonny Bill Williams off the field. That makes it difficult to... I'm very happy with the boys. Proud of the performance and... proud that we're 1-1 at the moment. We can look forward to for next week.
It's a wonderful world, isn't it? If I told you at 5 o'clock, Warren, your team's going to give away 13 penalties, 10 of them kickable, and a sin bin, and win, you wouldn't believe me, would you?
Yeah, it's a strange game, isn't it? Normally, if the All Blacks have that sort of stats, they win by 20 or 30 points. So for us to be in the game, I thought we scored a couple of lovely tries, which was nice. And but the 10-12 combination really stressed them, and some of their decision making on the ball was excellent. Some of our kicking needs to improve. It wasn't the best tonight, but it gives us a lot to work on for next week. And we saw what happened in Chicago, and then the following week or a couple of weeks in Dublin. So we know what to expect next week.
As the wonderfully grounded Sam Warburton said to me out on the pitch just there, look, we're only halfway through this. Yeah, we haven't won anything yet. We've won a game, yes, but we haven't won the whole thing. What's going to be the key next week? I know you're disappearing off to Queenstown for a few days, Warren. Get away and get out of the spotlight for a little while. But what's going to be the key next week to making sure that you take your place in the history books a week later at Eden Park?
Yeah, the key's to build on the good things that we did tonight. You know, and there were lots of really positives. And, at every game you think, okay, what can we fix, for the next game? And last week we spoke about the collision dominance which they had, and I thought tonight was a big improvement for us, and that made a massive difference in terms of stopping the momentum going forward. Discipline is a key issue for us at the moment, given my soft penalties, and we need to fix that for next week and probably have a look at it being a bit more accurate in our kicking game. So a heck of a lot to play for next week.
Yeah, so they weren't getting carried away at all. There must be a little bit of getting carried away, like a 5 minute, 10 minute period in the dressing room where they close the doors and go just mental.
They're going to, I mean, you got to celebrate the wins in this sport. I mean, the lows are, I'm telling you, from being in change rooms, the lows are low. And like in a Lions jersey, I'll never forget the second test against South Africa, my first year. Like that was, that was bottom of the barrel stuff. But the highs, I mean, that's why you play the game. You play for those moments and, take 5-10 minutes and enjoy it. And then knowing the lads, they'll be thinking, right, ice baths, compression, who needs massages, food into you. I'm sure one or two of them might go meet some friends out and get away from the environment themselves. And then,
so you actually get a night out tonight? And
they wouldn't be out.
Yeah. Not to 6 in the morning. Maybe 3:30.
I don't know. Look, I can't talk about
it. The dwarves are safe.
They'll probably use the buddy system and make sure they look after their roomie, right? And that's how they'll get through today. But they're going off Queenstown. That's a little break. They don't need to do a lot of work. I mean, yeah, they'll have some pitch sessions, but like it's the last week of the season, effectively, they don't need to do a lot of physical work. It's more, right, what's the strategy in getting down their plays and the way they want to play.
How do you cut down the penalty count? What work is done to actually do that? Is that,
I mean, I'm sure they'll look at a lot of penalties and see what we're given. I can't remember off the top of my head the kind of the breakdown of where they were. My feeling is a lot of them were around the ruck. The refs were, there was taking no prisoners in terms of if you were anywhere near the ball on their side, they were blown up, which I think is fair because that keeps the game going.
Yeah.
But at times, sometimes you get trapped and stuff like that. But I don't know. They'll look at them and see which ones could be helped, which ones, couldn't be. And I'm sure some of the players will be disappointed themselves. But they know that now. You know what I mean? It's kind of in their head now.
So, yeah.
It was the timing as well of a lot of the penalties that they'd put in an awful lot of good work. They'd earn a penalty. They'd kick the penalty. And within 2 minutes, they've given one away again. Now, Barrett didn't take advantage of all the chances. But against New Zealand, of all teams, for the players themselves, you must realise the frustration that must be there on the pitch when you put in such an effort to get up the length of the pitch. And straight away, you just give the points back so cheaply.
The game was so tough to get any sort of field position. And actually, it was interesting to listen to the Gats there talking about they kicked more in the first half. Because, I mean, they obviously played the smarter game maybe for the middle chunk of the game where they were like, we're down men. Right, you know what? And Kieran Reid said it after the game. The team that's in, the other half is probably, that's where you're going to get the points up. It makes sense. But like, it's crap game, crap weather conditions, sorry. They're down to 14 men. Let's not tie ourselves trying to get down to the field. So they kicked a lot down there. Like you said, they got a lot of penalties in positions where if it weren't kickable, they're actually, kind of release valves. They're giving themselves field position. And they didn't play too expansive. They kind of played a lot of one-pass rugby and then they didn't go out the back as much as they normally do. But at the same time, the Lions' defensive system was working really, really well. You can obviously see a lot of work the Faz has put in there. And I know from playing with both Johnny and Owen that they are very quick off the line. So you saw that a lot, that whole back line was getting off. The back row were working really hard to get around and the front five were making their tackles around the ruck. So it all worked perfectly well. But I'm sure, having played New Zealand very quickly last November, they'll learn. They'll see what worked against them and try and adapt. They're very, very good. That's one of the things that people don't really take credit for give credit to New Zealand, that they adapt really, really quick and learn really quickly.
Like tactically, the first test, they obviously had all their work done. They just attacked around the fringes of the ruck and they made loads of fairly cheap yards. And this time, obviously, the Lions had prepared for that. So you would expect that the ebb and flow of that naturally, New Zealand would go, okay, we see what you did there now. And we were only at 14 men anyway. So it will be a completely different challenge next week. And it's then about adapting on the fly in the middle of the game next week.
Well, yeah, you what's the phrase by Mike Tyson? Everyone's got a plan A until you punch in the face.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to have, knowing the lads, they're going to have a strategy coming into both sides will have a strategy coming into the game. And then you're kind of going that back to the footballers and who kind of controls the flow of the game, which is, around that kind of 9-10 access. And, Connor and Johnny, I don't know how long they've been playing with each other now and how many games they've played together. And they know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
And know the flow of the game pretty well. And both have excellent kicking games.
And does Murray improve because Sexton's there as well? Because he seemed like he had a better game this week. And obviously, the whole team played better and they're getting slightly better ball and it's a bit quicker, so it's definitely easier for him.
I think that's too quick and easy to say and unfair on Faz, to be honest. I thought the combination, he made the right call in having the two of them at 10 and 12. You saw it in the tail end of last week's game when two of them were playing 10 and 12. They've done it before. People were all a bit worried that they hadn't done that combination coming into this game on this tour, but they played like that before and you can see the threats that they... The more threats that they open up and the way they control the game a lot better. I thought he was going to bring on Ben come the tail end.
Yeah.
I was actually a bit surprised he didn't. It was really nothing against Ben. I thought that Ben has had a great tour and has played really well.
Yeah. He didn't really use the bench at all. Three subs, you're kind of thinking, the other team are knackered, maybe get a bit of extra injection of pace and stuff here.
Yeah. I kind of felt for CJ a bit, but I mean, they were going, the back row were going so well, I suppose he just didn't want to mix up that balance. I thought CJ obviously could have added to the game. In a game that was such there wasn't as much expansive playing in it, man just to carry the ball for you.
Yeah.
Especially if the others were tired. But it was great to see Jack come on. And Jack, like we talked about previously, Jack do so well.
Big hits.
Yeah, you know, him going around with his moustache, and it's good to see him on the field like that in his element.
The players who did come on did seem to make an impression, though. Sinclair as well was quite a handful for the last few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it is, in all these games, it's such fine margins. Like, one score the other way, and we're probably talking about Gatland and absolutely slating his decision not to bring the players off the bench.
It was a tight game, and I'm sure there would have been very, very different conversations if the All Blacks had drawn the game or won the game, especially given the environment, let's say, you know. But that's nearly here and now. You know, they've won. They're ploughing on. A lot of the calls he made paid off. And it will be interesting to see what calls he'll make coming into it now this week. I mean, I would love to see Ian Henderson get a shot. I think he deserves it. He's played really, really well. I'd love to see him on the bench or something like that. But like, what do you do? Who do you move around? You know, this is why I don't want to be a coach. There's so many bloody headaches and stuff like that.
The difference that a win makes to the team and the group, and just how quickly they'll actually improve and get confidence from each other?
They'll definitely be bouncing more. You know what I mean? Coming into training, they'll be bouncing more. They'll be in better spirits already. I'm sure there's back in the team. They're probably in the team room already now, back in the hotel. There's a couple of beers, probably pizzas and stuff are brought in. They're having the chats.
And trust. Do they just trust each other more now because they've achieved, like, obviously they weren't able to achieve that without a huge level of trust, but just the actual extra stuff that you get now, it's like, okay.
Well, they're getting reward for the work. You know what I mean? They probably felt last week that they were not undercooked, but didn't perform to their kind of standard or ability as a group of kind of players. I think this week you saw them come together a bit more, and I don't know if the word is trust, but they definitely got reward for, like, all right, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do. You know, we all stick to our job here. We're going to go good, and that's what they did. I heard Shawnee talk about it after the game, and that's what it came across to me. And
last week, somebody would get into the 22 after a great break, and they'd look for a crazy offload as opposed to going to ground and trusting that somebody was coming. This week, they kept it.
Well, you couldn't throw it around that weather.
It's true. Maybe that did help them, but there was just a sense, I'm going to be okay here. Someone's going to come to my rescue. That's when they got into the 22. They were absolutely clinical. Which, does that just come from a period of time spending?
Well, you got to play with guys, obviously, to know how it goes. But they play conditions really smart. You know what I mean? It was lashing around. Like, look at the All Blacks. The All Blacks didn't even offload that much, and they're up there with the offloading kings. You know what I mean? In world rugby, I'd love to see their stats actually compared to other teams. But they did play. They played the smarter game. I think they were the better team on the day. They definitely attacked more. And they got rewards for it. I mean, you got to be brave. You got to risk it to, especially against the All Blacks. You got to be brave enough to do something against them. You can't just sit back and like play that game of attrition against them, because
they're good at that too.
I mean, hearing Kieran Reid afterwards, he was like, you know, yeah, we got ahead. We were actually very disappointed that they didn't kick on from there. You know, they actually wanted to. Sounds like he said they wanted to attack a bit more, but some of the decisions in terms of kicking to the corner versus taking points with the numerical advantage that the Lions had, they, you know, kind of restricted them a little. But I think that doesn't take away from that huge defensive effort. Like, to keep the All Blacks to no tries is impressive.
What's Eden Park like to play in?
I remember, the time we played there, it was actually against Australia. And it was like we were the home side, from my memories. And like, so all the Kiwis came out. They just didn't want to see Australia win, obviously. And it was that infamous picture of Fez picking up
with Guinea.
Guinea at the time. I'll never forget that. I just came up from the scrum and see Fez carrying his man. I was like, yes, let's all pile in here. But it's an impressive stadium. And it's like, I'm not too sure what's the capacity of it right now. It's huge anyway, after all the refurbs that they've done to it. And I think it's going to be electric. Like, the line, you're going to have the line supporters, and, you know, and the Kiwi supporters are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to take that this week. I mean, and because they'd be pretty vocal themselves when New Zealand wins, so they're going to have to take a back seat this week, and we'll see what interesting articles are coming out in the papers this week compared to last week.
So when that clown stuff is happening as a group, I presume the players are aware of it. They have to be, right?
Well, I know some players that would probably be on their phone checking out the boards and the news articles straight after a game, which I always find quite peculiar. So there'll be more than a few players that will be aware of what's been said or the current theme. And also, you kind of have to be when you're like doing media,
because you get asked about it.
You got to be, you got to know what the topics are. You know, that can go two ways, but I think for them it kind of brought galvanized a bit. It's like us versus them kind of mentality a little bit. Which is always good. You know, you kind of use an Eddie O'Sullivan phrase, you circle the wagons, you know what I mean? And you kind of focus in on yourselves. And I think this week, with all the hype that's going on, that's what they're going to have to do, because I mean, you've been to New Zealand, you know, it is rugby mad. And, you know, actually, you only have to think back 6 years ago to when the New Zealand guys lost the last game back to back, but it doesn't happen all that often. Mm. So this is going to be... it's going to be huge. I mean, it's huge on all sorts of different levels.
You give them a chance?
I do, but they've got to start strong against the All Blacks.
It'd be nice to see them in front for a while, like more than 2 or 3 minutes, just to like see what happens.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about it during the week in Leinster, and we were like, you know, if you let them get ahead, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because they're... as well as being great footballers, they're so kind of strategically and tactically astute as well. And they know when to go for it. They make the right calls most of the time. You know what I mean? When to go for it, when to play territory, when to go to the corner as opposed to kicking for goal. And Kieran Reid is really, really good at making those calls as well with all the players around him.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie. I'm not getting carried away. They played in terrible conditions against 14 men.
Yeah.
I would love it if they did it. I would absolutely love it. But it's going to be tough. It is going to be tough. And I think he's going to have to make one or two tweaks to the team.
Yeah.
To get it over the line.
As in the
I'd
pack?
I'd love to see Wester start, yeah. Yeah, I'd love that. And from Ireland's perspective, from a Leinster perspective,
yeah,
you know, I'd love to see that.
Is that just three test matches in 3 weeks, as much as anything else, that you just need changes automatically to freshen things up?
It definitely would be taxing on the body, and some guys in that squad would not be used to playing three games on the bounce, 3 80-minute games on the bounce as well. So you're going to have to bring that into consideration. Hopefully they're trucking all right in terms of like injuries and stuff like that.
They're doing all right. It seems
it looks like they, outside, most people pulled through all right. So it looks like you'd be able to pick from a relatively full deck again.
One last word, right? Sean O'Brien is playing the rugby of his life.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because he just felt like that it would take a miracle for him to get back to that level given all the injuries he had. And lo and behold, it's like he's never been away.
Yeah, he hasn't played a lot of rugby in the last 2 years, 3 years.
Three, really.
And
he's a young man. Is that what you're saying?
This, he doesn't have a lot of miles in the clock, you know. And he didn't play a lot of rugby this year, and he kind of, you know, he looked after himself and he made sure he was ready for this tour.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take a lot to get that kid going. You know what I mean? And his game is such, he can shine in all sorts of conditions, you know what I mean? So if it's a game where it's dry and it's open,
yeah,
he'll get his hands on the ball and he'll play, you know what I mean? Because he's so strong and his like center of gravity is so low and he's just a bulk, you know what I mean? That he's bloody hard to tackle, you know what I mean? Trust me, in training with the man for the last 10 years, I know all about it. But then again, and he's got skills as well, obviously, to play and offload. But then when it's a wet game, he's in there. He's like a groundhog on the ball, like. And when he gets on it, he's like a tick, man. He's dug in. He's not coming out. And so he's able to adapt his game no matter what. And I think, it's fair to say he's very happy with how he's playing. And by all kind of reports, he's having a great time down there.
Yeah. On that note, Jamie, thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.
Just to say, Land Rover is a principal partner of the British and Irish Lions Tour to New Zealand in 2017. Follow the hashtag WeDealInReal or at Land Rover Rugby on Twitter. And Jamie Heaslip is a Land Rover ambassador. We're going to have our Saturday panel after these. Cheers.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
I'm not stunned. I've always said it's a very good side, and you know, we didn't help ourselves by losing a player. So, whilst I'm very proud of our team for the way they hung in there with 14 men, you've got to take your hat off and say well done to the Lions.
Did the referee get the call right on the sending off, Steve?
Oh, well, he made the call. So whether he got it right or wrong is irrelevant. I've always said you've got to go with what he decides. And
in your opinion, Steve, did he get it right?
Well, that's not the issue. Don't make the issue about a tackle. What we should be doing is, from this point on, is looking at how we played and how they played, and you know, the Lions deserved the win, so happy for them, and obviously we were a bit disappointed, and but very proud of our guys.
Yeah, so Steve Hansen there refusing to condemn Sonny Bill Williams or to support the referee in the decision that he made was 100% correct. Johnny Murphy, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
It was the right decision.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, like it's a, and you know, Jerome Garcés, anytime he's had to make a couple of tough calls throughout the season, he says, I'm left with no, you know, they're the rules. And he actually speaks to players very well on the pitch. He did that a couple of times. He's, you know, he said, you know, they're the laws. I have to protect the player for the last penalty for Sinclair. You know, it's a bit kind of weird how it happens, but technically he's a player, you're attacking a player in the air. It's a penalty.
Yeah.
They're the rules of the game. That's what he's there for.
Because he jumped.
Yeah.
And that was the point that was being made by the sub prop.
Yeah, I'd say Murray's going to claim that he threw a bad pass on purpose so that he had to jump.
What are you doing? Turning up there.
Yeah. But yeah, like, look, that's what he's there for, to enforce the laws of the game. It was, for me, it was a bit of a cheap shot. And, you know, there was, it seemed like there was clear intent in terms of shoulder to the face. And I think I saw a couple of things on Twitter about, you know, probably the leaguey style of tackle and that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
it was that.
Yeah, that's what I was just reading a bit of the New Zealand press there before we came in, and they were like, oh, this is the horrible remnants of that violent league game. I'm like, well, you know, we've kind of seen a lot of All Blacks do this now over the last, certainly against Ireland. In the first game, they were talking as well about, was it Jerome Kino tackled Peter O'Mahony in the air at a line out? Like, they're a filthy team.
Yeah.
They really are.
They play on the edge, you know, and I think that's the, I suppose you look at it two ways. You know, they're playing on the edge. They're within the laws of the game to the majority of the time because they don't get penalised for it. You have to have Steve Hansen's view of it that, yeah, okay, they play on the edge, but they don't get penalised. So therefore, they're legit. They get penalised sometimes, and then, you know, you can take the Paul O'Connell view on it and you can say, well, that's actually a sign of respect in terms of how they play. That's where they play. They play on that line all the time. Sometimes they cross over, but that's professional sport.
Yeah, except that they don't get called out for it, really. They seem to be almost like, oh, it's the All Blacks. They can do what they want.
Yeah, there can be a certain aspect of that. And, you know, you take away, we spoke about this last week, Mako Vunipolo's yellow card. Okay, that clear out, take away, you look at the angle, I think he's lucky not to get a red card, to be honest, because if you look at the final angle that was showed, there's a contact of a forearm or an elbow to the face. But you take that away from it in terms of what he's actually doing, the All Blacks do that all the time. They clear out that way off all the time. They go off their feet. If there's any kind of scattering of players around a ruck area, whether you're on your knees, they just torpedo in. So I kind of have an issue with that they're getting away with that all the time. Now, Mako Vunipola got penalised for that. I think he's very lucky. If Garcés could have actually heard, I don't think he can hear the TOM there. If you can hear the TMO, he's like, Jerome, hold on. He wanted him to look at the final angle again
to give him
which
red.
Clearly shows there's an elbow to the face.
Yeah,
so
the same TMO who wasn't really backing Garcés with the red card for the Sonny Bill Williams.
No, he wasn't, and neither was...
He's an Aussie.
Yeah. And
Jaco Piper.
Yeah.
What is that? I like that.
I'm
sorry. Jaco Piper seems to love the All Blacks.
Yeah, and that was something that you kind of felt, hold on a second, like it's clear as day. There's connection. Rules of the game state that now there's a, you know, you have to look after the player, and there was shoulder contact to the face.
Yeah.
Red card.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't think it would have been a red card if Jaco Piper was referee in that game. I think he would have gone, oh, that's terrible. Yellow, I'm sure he was slipping. You didn't mean it, Sonny Bill, did you? Off you go there.
Yeah.
You're a man of peace.
Yeah, maybe, but like, look, Those are the breaks.
Yeah, I know we're labouring the point here, but we get to labour after a victory because it sounds like whinging if you lose. But I think that the All Blacks playing on the edge needs to be called out by every team who plays them and goes, hang on a second, they are playing on the edge, but they're way over the edge, like on the offside line with that clearing out generally and those high tackles that we saw in the Ireland game. And because they win so many games, every time it's brought up, it's like, oh, you're just a whinger.
Yeah.
Now they've actually won a game. I would go to town this week on the referee.
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, and I suppose for whatever reason, they just have that air that they're always on the edge. And sometimes if you can see if it's spoken about in that way, they get the benefit of the doubt because people don't, as you say, they don't call them out enough. Where now there is an opportunity to say that. But like, I'd be very clear, like if I was you know, anyone in the lines, I'd be clear that, you know, those conversations, they don't necessarily have to happen in the media. They can happen in the back
room before
and say, look, this is what, there's reports that get sent to the, you know, to the IRB about the referees every single week. You know, there's a guy probably in the coaching staff that's responsible for that. And, you know, that's where it needs to be clearly stated.
Yeah.
And then if there's no, if there's nothing done about it, then yeah, probably it needs to come into the media domain.
Also, Perenara after the Murray try screaming to the referee, he's like, oh, I got taken out. Like, shut up.
I mean, yeah.
Shut up.
Exactly, yeah. And I actually really liked Garcés. There's another moment where, and like Murray is cheating, like 100%. They give away a penalty. Murray runs over and boots the ball away so they can't take a quick one. And Perenara's like, ah! And Jerome Garcés is just like, what? Well, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you, and you kind of paranoid, kind of going, actually, yeah, no, you're okay. Yeah. We weren't going to take a quick anyway. So
Normally referees are cowed by that behaviour.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. The other thing is that a scratch team has just beaten the All Blacks. Like,
yeah,
it's a bit of a miracle, really.
It was, you know, a couple of things fell in their favour, and I think he got selection right. In hindsight, I couldn't believe he left Teo out. I thought he was the best player, one of the best players last week. Selection has proven correct. You know, the Sexton Farrell combo definitely worked. You could see it for the tries. And I think that the weather probably suited them in a sense. It's a great leveler. Okay, they didn't use it to probably an effect as much as they could have, but just automatically it levels everything straight out.
Isn't it the case though that when the weather's that bad, the team with the better skill set is supposed to be the one that deals with it because
but they kept themselves in the game for that long, you know, because of that. But I think if the Lions used it more effectively, they were unlucky with a couple of long kicks that actually went dead.
Yeah.
You know, if their kicking game was better, it probably would have been a lot, it could have been a lot more comfortable.
In various WhatsApp groups that were watching the match this morning, everybody was saying, the Lions have gone to shit, this is terrible, what the hell's going on, for like about a 25 minute period when they were making loads of mistakes, when Itoje was getting penalised, even though I thought he played really well, and when Vinopola was in his penalty slalom. But like, that happens in a game against the All Blacks where you're under pressure and it's monsoon conditions where the performance isn't going to be pitch perfect for the 80 minutes. And they rode their luck a little bit, but you have to if you're a team that's been together for 8 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the biggest thing is, and we spoke about it all tour, is how clinical they were when they got into the 22. Okay, you know, we've given out about, okay, they weren't accurate in this game or that game, and, you know, they haven't converted the try-scoring opportunities. In the second half, they got into the 22 twice. They scored two tries. And that's, you can't be more clinical than that. Yes, okay, they struggled outside of that, especially in their own half in terms of controlling the game and controlling the territory. But when they got into the 22, they were accurate. They got points.
Now, the All Blacks are, again, the coverage in the New Zealand media is like, oh, we were a little bit off today. There wasn't the level of intensity. But there was. They were still pretty intense. Like at the start of the second half, they come out down to 14 men and really control the game and just drive up the guts of the Lions. And it looks like at various stages they are going to get over for the try that is effectively going to seal the game at that point because they had the lead. And they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that they were off because of the intensity of the Lions' defence, and they won the breakdown battle. Like, that's clear. Okay, they had to take off. They took off a back rower, which meant that, you know, they were probably a man down in that area. But, you know, if you actually, we speak about playing on the edge, I'd say Jerome Garcés says, I'd say at least 50 times. Six, hands off, six, six, no, no, no. Warburton was on the edge all day. He was an absolute menace. He actually didn't get very many turnovers, but what he did was he slowed their ball down. He came in, he was using his feet, he was standing in awkward positions and taking their cleaners. He was actually getting past their cleaner, so an extra guy had to go in, which was slowing their ball down. It might only have been for a second, but if you listen back to the ref, Mike, the amount of times that he clearly, and six, a lot, he's like, six, no, no, six, no, no, no hands, no hands, no hands.
Yeah.
That means he's in the right position, he's lost the battle for the ball, but he's slowing the ball down.
Yeah.
And that's where, that was a difference to last week. We didn't have that, okay, it was numbers game, it was three against two in the back row this week, but that played a massive part. You look at their defence from, I think it was probably in the last, from in the second half, probably from 70 to 74 minutes, they drove them back from the 10-metre line, the Lions' 10-metre line, back into where it was kind of, they got blocked down, and then they looked actually a bit dangerous because they kind of got into open field and they went back. But for six, seven phases, they got off the line, got off the line, got off the line, got off the line, and then the All Blacks were left with nothing. They had to kick the ball away.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the difference.
And it seemed as if some of that energy coming off the bench for the Lions also helped.
Yeah, I think Courtney Laws was really good. He carried well when he came off, when he came on. He just added a bit extra bite. But he only used three subs, which I was very surprised at again. You know, you look at a game, the conditions, and you kind of go, you know, I know Falata, I suppose it's kind of like, where are you going to fit CJ in? But like, that's kind of his game, the last 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He'll carry 50 times for you in 15 minutes if you give him the ball, yeah. You know. And it's just, he only used three subs. He just has to find some way of getting that, the full impact that's needed out of the bench, because I don't think he's got that just yet.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a bit about that, because I guess that's kind of one of the big debates for next week. But we can actually hear from the Lions captain, Sam Warburton. Have a listen.
It's only half the job done, you know, so I'll be happy next week when we bring the test series home. One apiece now, so effectively, you know, we've only played two halves.
Come on, Sam, you've just beaten New Zealand. Take that smile on your face. You have just beaten New Zealand in Wellington, Sam. It's grandchildren tell time moment, yeah?
We've got to win the test series. We've got to win the test series. I mean, yeah, it's great that we got it to 1-1. We wanted to take it to, obviously, to Eden Park, but still plenty to work on. We had give away way too many penalties in the second half. Obviously delighted that we grinded out a win, but we've got to remember it was against 14 men. We've got to rep it again next week and bring that test series home.
18-9 down after 60 minutes in that game, Sam. How important was patience and knowing that the longer it went on, the better your chances would get?
That's what I'm on about leaders in the team. And the one disappointing thing was the discipline. I'm disappointed with that, but plenty of guys there to marshal the game and see it through. And to score a try from a wide play, from Toby, to bring us back in the game, it shows they were willing to play a bit, and I was really pleased that the boys didn't shut up shop, still had confidence and were still brave enough to take those risks. So but yeah, let's look forward to next week, and at least we've got an epic battle on our hands.
Yeah, they do, but they're alive, which is the main thing here. To come back from 18-9 down with 20 minutes left to go against the All Blacks in New Zealand, it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's massive, you know, and I think that, you know, it's going to give them such belief. It's, you know, a complete momentum shift to everything. You know, what was being spoken about during the week about the, you know, the geography Lions and all that kind of stuff, that goes now.
Yeah.
That leaves them. You know, whether you agree with it or not, it's over.
It's irrelevant.
It doesn't make any difference. Where if they had lost today, especially in those circumstances, it would have been a bit, it could have got messy for Gatland. But now you go, but it just kind of, you know, within the squad, there's going to be, yeah, okay, they didn't play perfectly. That's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the scoreboard and it was 19-9 for a reason, because of the penalties.
Called Vinopola, really.
Yeah, but if you rectify that and you play well and you take the accuracy they had in their 22, all bets are off next weekend.
Do you, suddenly Jack McGrath has to start? It's inevitable? Or do you double down and go, he can't be that bad again, and the value that they saw in him is...
Look, I think for me, I'd put him on the bench. I think he offers more coming off the bench, and he probably just has that bit more of an impact than Jack McGrath does coming off the bench. But it's the same argument you're having with Itoje. Do you want to go all out you're not going to lose very much by starting McGrath.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it could change if to get the dynamic of his bench and that impact correctly, it could be a really good shout.
If Vinopolo drops to the bench, and is Alan Wynne-Jones safe?
Same again. He starts or he doesn't, he's not involved.
So he goes and Henderson to the bench is an option?
There's another option, yeah. Or you play Cruz and Itoje and you have Laws on the bench.
Okay, so Cruz has a chance.
Yeah, so, but there's different, I don't think he's going to drop Jones because I think he's probably a safeguard for Warburton in terms of leadership and someone that Warburton will always turn to and say, okay, you need those guys around you, the guys that you feel really comfortable with, that you know really well, to turn to and say, look, what, and that's what Wynne-Jones probably gives you over anyone else.
Are there any other potential changes? Liam Williams looked at, like, he might have picked up a couple of injuries at various stages. Like, he did his knee in the pass for Faletau's try, but he obviously played on.
Yeah, Noel, I think, might have a shot there. Williams, probably one of his real, you know, strength to his game is actually controlling the air and having a go on that aerial battle. He's knocked 3 or 4 balls on or hasn't collected. I know conditions are really bad, but last week he didn't as well. So that's something that might possibly change things. But yeah, I'd say it'd probably only be a knock if he's going to change anything in the back three. They've worked quite well together. I don't really see him changing.
Farland, Sexton stays.
Yeah, have to stay. You look at what they did in the first half and they got the ball to width. They were playing this kind of real tight leaguey style, someone short and Sexton on the ball and then Farrell out the back. They come back to the middle of the field in, like, within the next phase. Farrell's at 10, Sexton's at 12 out the back. They just, and then the reason that Murray scored was because they ran that move and Sexton has the wherewithal to play George short and he goes up through the middle of them. They just have that triangle shape and they've working really, really well together.
They seem to learn as well about the fringe defence. I mean, there were still times when around the rooks New Zealand were able to kind of just surge forward and you're thinking, okay, we saw this last week, but the tackles were bigger, the hits were bigger going in. There was definitely momentum shifters in that. So that's analysis and that's research. This week it's going to be the All Blacks doing the analysis and research on those triangles. So you would expect that there'll be a response from the All Blacks too.
Yeah, I think the Lions probably looked a small bit under pressure when they got the ball to width because they probably tightened up their line speed, up their line speed and kept coming forward. But there was a forward pass out on the edge at one stage in the second half where Jonathan Davis just went, right, if you can get the ball away and it's a perfect pass, fine, do it.
Yeah.
But he came out of the line and he stopped and it was a forward pass. So you're putting them under pressure. Ireland did that as well in America, and I think that's something that they're going to stick with and say, if you're good enough, do it. Put them under pressure, enough pressure that you're really, really testing their skills.
They had no numbers because they had only 14 men as well.
So it makes it easier to do, but in general, you have to put them in you have to put New Zealand in a place that they don't feel comfortable making those easy 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s that they do in their, you know, that they do in their sleep. But if you put them under enough pressure and say, right, let's see actually how good you are, that's when they can come unstuck.
Yeah, Gatlin took an awful lot of criticism from this part of the world and New Zealand. I mean, this is a bit of a triumph for him.
Yeah, I think his stock is rising massively now in New Zealand. He said in the aftermatch, he's like, oh, I'm a happy clown this week. And so I think he's probably embraced it, but it goes, like, you know, 3 points away from him not...
Well, Vinopola,
Vinopola's
life has changed as a result of this because he's not the subject of a witch hunt for losing the test series and stupidly doing it.
Yeah, look, Gatlin's a good coach. Whether you like how he plays or not, that's a personal opinion. He's a good coach. He's a very good record. You can't deny that. But he's now going down into his backyard to possibly win a test series for the first time in I don't know how many years.
71.
Yeah, I can't even count that high. So, like, it's, you know, it's one of those ones that, yeah, it's going to be... It's massive for him on a personal level.
What do they do? Do they become a bit more conservative next week, or do they just go, look, it's...
No, they have to play. They have to do exactly what they've done in terms of when they get into 22 this week. They have to cut out their discipline. And there's moments that could have bitten them in the ass today. when Murray kicked the last play of this of the first half, you watch it. Murray kicks a kind of speculative cross field. He knows he has advantage. Faletau, you go on the wide screen and you watch Faletau chasing the ball. Watson only realizes there's a try scoring opportunity when Faletau goes up in the air and the ball bounces back towards him. Then it's a race between the hooker and himself. But Watson jogged for the first 10, 15 metres of that. If he had sprinted, that would have been a try. You'd be going in 4 points up at halftime rather than... You can't have any doubts over stuff like that. There, people talk about, you know, talentless tasks. That's one that you just get in your bike. You chase lost causes. You don't know what way the ball is going to bounce.
Yeah.
And you have to take... For the Lions to win the series, they have to do everything like that. Just... chase everything, even if you think there's a 0.0% chance that the ball is going to bounce your way. You have to keep going, and hopefully it does bounce your way.
And there is a dividend from winning this game in that you're far more likely to chase those next week because you think, okay,
because there's belief. Yeah. There's belief there. There's, you know, there is essentially, in rugby speaking terms, there is a sense of immortality here. There's the first chance to win a professional Lions series in New Zealand.
Yeah, you know, it's a brilliant New Zealand team.
Yeah.
It's not a crappy one who kind of choked at the World Cup. It's like...
You're doing it in Auckland where they haven't lost in however many years. That's where that, like, there is a serious chance of you know, of, like, it is history making, and it's something that, you know, what Sky Sports were saying there was, oh well, you know, it's grandchildren telling your grandchildren stuff. It'll be telling your great grandchildren, it'll be your grandchildren telling their grandchildren. Yeah, it is like one of those things that will go down in history, you know?
Yeah, we did a thing on Thursday night in the RDS, and the cheer that went up when Fergus Slattery came out was huge. But then Willie John McBride came on, and I'd say there's about two other roadshows in our lives that we've had the same kind of response for people.
Yeah.
And like, I just didn't... It happened before I was born.
Yeah.
I didn't really fully appreciate it, but... And it was a much older crowd.
Yeah.
It was people who were emotionally invested in the career of this guy, who, it turns out, actually played more games for the Lions than he did for Ireland.
Yeah.
Another thing I didn't realise. But, you wonder if this team is good enough to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And they've given themselves a chance.
Yeah, and, I think there's a whole emotional thing involved with the Lions. I remember watching Rory Underwood score that try in 1993. I was 9 years of age. What really made me want to try... my love of rugby was always kind of there, but like watching the 1997, living with the Lions, like John Bentley taking off on that, like he's a household name of people of my age, you know, like, you know, I could say that to guys I coach in St. Mary's and they're like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, hold on a second, go back and watch when he takes off, he catches the ball in his own half and he's doing everything he was told not to do as a rugby player, running sideways all over the shop, and they scored this incredible try. That's what the Lions is. That's what it means to people like us. I'm not sure about the younger generation, but like, it's incredible. You know,
you find yourself cheering for Courtney Laws. Never happens. Never ever happens in the rest of your life. You're never ever going to go on, Courtney.
Yeah, and I think that's why people were so annoyed about what happened with the geography lines, as they're going to be known. But what pissed a lot of people off, and especially me during the week, was Tuesday. He didn't have the balls or the conviction to put them on.
Yeah,
you know, like if I got a call up to go out there tomorrow, I don't care. I'm going. Don't care.
Of course.
Like anyone would. And if I get on, I don't care. I have a number. I'm a Lion. That's what it means to me.
Yeah.
But he essentially took the piss out of them, but embarrassed those guys that didn't get on by saying, actually, I got a load of flack in the media and, you know, I'm not going to put you on. But like, that's what annoyed me. Now you're kind of like, well, look, if you win the test series, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's the emotional investment that people have in the Lions.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such...
I think people make mistakes as well, is the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Gatland probably in the aftermath will go, yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not he gets forgiven for it.
Yeah.
He probably does now because they've won a test.
Yeah.
And that's enough to go, okay, well, that was a mistake. I hold my hands up, but can't say that this week.
Yeah. And they've got a proper shot now. You know,
does it need to be the same conditions? Do they need to play against 14 men?
No,
like,
I don't think so.
Can they beat a 15-man team?
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, as we said, the discipline, those moments, that Anthony Watson moment, that they have to do all those things. They're an improving side. They're getting better every single week. The Saturday side is getting better every single week, and it has the whole way through the tour. So it's another week of Farrell and Sexton playing well, training together, getting to know everything. You're getting your combinations. Don't doubt for a second. All Blacks are still, they're still favourites, clear favourites.
Yeah, and they could murder and they come out and put in a performance for the ages.
But the Lions have a proper shot.
Johnny, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Cheers.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.